Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a start just to our prayer meeting tonight. Has anyone got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. 475, is that right? 475 in your hymn book. 475. 475. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. We'll sing the first two verses, verses 1 and 2, 475, along with the chorus, keeping our seats while we sing. Favorite? Sorry? 539. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, of highest royal banner, it must not suffer loss. 539. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Verse 1 and 4. 539 standing as we sing. Get seated, sorry.
Oh.
more favorite. 545. 545 in your hymn book. 545. Marching on in the light of God. Marching on. I'm marching on up the path that the Master trod. Marching on. Marching on. We'll sing the first two verses. Verses 1 and 2. Along with the chorus. 545. And just keeping our seats while we sing. Turn to the hymn number 316, just for our opening hymn of praise tonight. A hymn of testimony, a trembling soul. I sought the Lord, my sin confessed, my guilt deplored. How soft and sweet his word to me, I took thy place and died for me. And that's our testimony tonight. As the people of God, one took our place and died for us upon the cross. We'll stand as we sing, singing the hymn through in its entirety. 316, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
just look to the Lord in prayer, praying for the Lord's help and blessing and presence with us here tonight. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the goodness and the mercy of our God that finds us here tonight in this place where prayer is wont to be made. Father, we come to thee tonight in no merit of our own, but we come to thee tonight through the merits of another, thine only begotten Son, he who became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, we thank thee for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing, how we can say with the hymn writer regarding Christ that he took my place and that he died for me. Father, we thank thee that this is our testimony as the people of God tonight. We thank that Christ was indeed our substitute. We realize, O God, that we deserve punishment for our sins. We deserve hell for our sins. Yet, O God, we thank that Christ paid the price in full for our redemption when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary and cried out upon that cross, "It is finished." Father, we thank thee for that once for all sacrifice for sin. We thank thee for the precious blood that he shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all our sins, that makes us whiter than the snow. And Father, we come before thee tonight through Christ our Redeemer. We thank thee for his blood that cleanseth from sin. We thank thee, Father, for that robe of spotless righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us as the people of God, and that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And Father, as we come to thee tonight, we return thee thanks for all thy mercies and blessings to us throughout today already. We praise thee and thank thee, Father, for health and strength tonight, freedom and liberty, and Lord, this ability to gather here tonight around thy word with the saints of the Lord. And Father, we pray that thou would bless our coming together tonight. We realize, Lord, that it is thy presence that makes the feast. And Lord, thou hast said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we would just plead that promise before thee tonight, Lord. Draw very near and speak to our hearts tonight by the way, O God. Each one of us hear that still, small voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." Prepare our hearts this night to receive with meekness the engrafted word of life. Prepare our hearts tonight for prayer. We need thy help in prayer, Lord. We confess our own inability to pray. We know not what to pray for as we ought. Yet, Lord, we thank thee for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who has promised to help us in our infirmity. And Father, we pray for that infilling afresh as thy people with God the Holy Spirit. And Father, pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us. Teach us to pray. Lead us to pray. Lord, burden our hearts with the things that thou would have us to pray for. And Father, we thank that thou hast promised that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given and done for them. Lord, we thank thee for all who have been able to come tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Meet the need of every heart, of every life, we pray. Strengthen us, lead us on with God. Help us to march on in the power of the Lord and in the grace of God day by day as your people. Remember all our homes and our families, Lord, bless them. Do unite our family circles in the Lord. And even, Lord, at this time of the year when we'd meet together with family and loved ones and friends, we pray that we might know the nearness and the presence and the blessing of the Lord with us, that we might be a witness and a blessing, Lord, for thee, even to family and loved ones and friends we ask of thee. Remember, Lord, those unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity, Lord, bless them, touch them, do strengthen them in their body, strengthen them in their heart and in their soul, we pray. For others who have suffered bereavement in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts. And especially, Lord, at this season of the year, fill the vacant chair with the presence and the nearness of the Lord. Again, we return thee thanks for the meetings last Lord's Day. We thank thee, Lord, for the many in and Lord's Day evening. And, Lord, for many unsaved been in under the sound of thy word. And for the ministry from the children, from all who took part, and the going forth of thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless thy word even to those that were in unsaved, out of Christ, young and old alike.
Oh, that thou would speak to them, Lord, and that thou would awaken them to their need of salvation, and that they might close in with Christ and trust him who has come to save his people from their sins. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, Lord. Grant thy blessing, we pray, where thy people meet faithfully around the word of God. We think especially tonight of the land of Ukraine and the land of Israel and thy people there, Lord, bless them. And we do pray, Lord, for peace in that land of Ukraine, O God, and that thou would drive out the destroyer, we ask of thee. We pray for the protection of thine ancient people in Israel, that they might turn to the Lord, the Prince of Peace, and that thou would even overthrow the works of evildoers in that land and in that region, O God, we ask of thee. Father, just bless us now, we pray. Do our hearts good. Again, we think of missionaries tonight, far from home and family and loved ones. Bless them. Minister to their needs, we pray. And may they too know a rich portion from thyself, Lord, at this time we ask. Bless us now, we pray. Glorify thy name amongst us this night. Do our hearts much good. We pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're going to turn tonight, please, in the Word of God to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 50. And while you're looking that passage up, I want to welcome all tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see all who have gathered tonight. I know it's a busy time of the year, but it's good to see all who have gathered this evening. We pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Do remember the meetings here on the Lord's Day and your prayers. Lord's Day morning, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. Sunday school is off for 2 weeks, but do pray for the meetings that will know God's presence and blessing and help in the ministry of God's Word. And do also just note next week, that's the Christmas week, as is customary, and there'll be no midweek prayer meeting during that week from Christmas to the New Year. So do remember that, please. And then if we could just maybe meet with the members of committee tonight, just really for 5 minutes, very briefly, just after the prayer meeting tonight, that'll be appreciated. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 50 and the verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. Ending a reading there, verse number 11 And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts this evening. Little text of scripture I want us just to look at and consider before we get down to prayer. Just really consists of six words, and you'll find it in the middle of verse number 2 of this chapter. Here the Lord is speaking, and it is these six words where he says in the middle of verse 2 there, if you want to underline it and mark it in your Bible, it says, "Have I no power to deliver? Have I no power to deliver?" Isaiah chapter 50, the chapter before us, is a chapter really that consists of two parts. From verse 4 down to the end of verse number 11, there we are really given a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in his humiliation and his sufferings here on earth. And then in the opening three verses of the chapter, verses 1 to 3, we see here how the Lord, he deals with a complaint that unbelieving Israel had made against him at this time. And the complaint of unbelieving Israel was that owing to weakness and unfaithfulness, God was not able to deliver Israel from their captivity in Babylon. This charge, of course, was false. This charge, of course, was most evil from ancient Israel toward the Lord. Indeed, the reason why God had allowed ancient Israel to be taken captive into Babylon was due to their own sin and their own rebellion against God. And God reminds them of this very fact in verse 1 of the chapter, where he says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away." And there he was reminding them that this captivity was God's judgment upon them. Yes, by this captivity, God was judging ancient Israel for their sin. And in his controversy with unbelieving Israel at this time, the Lord, he speaks to them and he tells them how there was no diminishing of his power whatsoever. And we see this in what he says in the middle of verse 2 and verse 3 of the chapter. And for verse 2, he puts these questions to them, really outlining and underlining the fact there was no weakening, no diminishing of his power in any shape or form. He says in verse 2, "There is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with darkness, and I make sackcloth their covering." And in those words and in those statements, when the Lord answers the complaint of ancient Israel, he sets before them, he declares before them that he is the Almighty God, that his power is undiminished, and that his power is forever the same. And it is in the midst of this declaration of his power that the Lord then utters the words of our text when he says, "Have I no power to deliver?" Now such words, yes, are a rebuke to unbelief among God's believing people. But as well as being a rebuke, these same words are also an encouragement to faith among the Lord's believing people and among the saints of God. And for that reason in particular, I want us to consider this little text of Scripture tonight here in verse number 2 of Isaiah chapter 50, when the Lord poses the question and asks the question, "Have I no power to deliver?" Brethren and sisters in Christ tonight, here we have a great encouragement. Yes, a tremendous encouragement to our faith as the people of God and as the Church of Christ. And as we would consider this encouragement to faith, there are a number of thoughts I just want to set before you tonight briefly. First of all, we can say tonight that our text here, it encourages the believer in their battle against sin. It encourages the believer in their battle against sin. You think of what the Lord says in our text. He says, "Have I no power to deliver?" And as believers, yes, in this scene of time, we have to deal with the power of inbred sin. We also have to deal also with the guilt of our past sins as the people of God. Well, in the Lord, there is victory for us over sin. Yes, through the Lord's grace, through the Lord's power, as Christians, we can receive strength and grace to overcome sin, to overcome temptation in our life day by day as the people of God. As a young man, just 17 years of age or so, Joseph in the Old Testament book of Genesis was to prove that power in his own life when God enabled him to say no to the allurements of Potiphar's wife. And he replied to her overtures by saying, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord?" The Lord gave him help and power to say no to sin and to temptation when it came before him as a Christian. Believer in Christ tonight, the Lord says to you and I, says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And by daily seeking the Lord in prayer, seeking His grace, seeking His power, yes, you and I as Christians can be able to resist sin and say no to temptation and the attacks of the evil one upon us to lure us into sin when it comes our way in life as Christians. And then also as believers, there are times whenever our past sins as well, they trouble our minds or our thoughts as the people of God. And whenever this happens, we must remember that the guilt of our sin has been dealt with at the cross, has been dealt with by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The day you and I trusted Him as our own and personal Savior, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Believer, yes, regarding our sins, the Lord's unchanging promise to you and I as His people and to all His believing people is this. He says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake, and will not remember thy sins. What a promise of God's pardon, of God's forgiveness to us as the people of God. Yes, our text encourages the believer in their battle against sin. But then secondly, we can say further tonight that our text here encourages the believer whenever they're being attacked by Satan himself. In our text, the Lord says, "Have I no power to deliver?" And in this life, yes, Satan is the number one foe. He's the number one enemy of the believer, of the Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, warned Peter of this very fact. For He said to Peter, "Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And there the Lord was warning Peter of the devil's attack upon him. Well, dear Christian, tonight, whenever Satan attacks, and he does attack the believer, there's no believer immune from the attack of the evil one. But whenever Satan attacks believer, can I say this tonight? The Lord is able to deliver. He's able to deliver. Satan is mighty, but the Lord is almighty. The Lord is all-powerful. The Bible says that power belongeth unto God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, there you read of the Lord proving His power over Satan in the times of temptation, when he defeated all the temptations that Satan presented to Him at that time. And this is what it says in verse 11 of that chapter. It says, "Then the devil leaveth him. Behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Christ was victorious over Satan. Brethren and sisters in Christ, because of our union in Christ, that victory is for us also as the people of God, against our adversary, against our foe, the evil one. Christian, tonight, remember this. Whatever malice, whatever craft, whatever opposition the devil employs against you, remember this, dear Christian, the Lord is able to give you victory. The Lord is able to make you a conqueror. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bible back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here you have David's encounter with Goliath. And Goliath was one of Satan's instruments. He is a very graphic description, really, of the Antichrist. And he was one of Satan's instruments. But David was victorious how in facing Goliath? He was victorious by trusting in the Lord, and he overcome this emissary of Satan. Look at what David says to Goliath in verse 45 and verse 46 of 1 Samuel 17. It says, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, take thine head from off thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And then down in verse 50, the beginning of that verse, look at what it says. It says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone." And there you see how David was victorious over the evil one. And likewise, dear people of God, by faith in the Lord, you and I also as Christians can know victory over the evil one. The Bible says to the believer, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Think of the words penned by Martin Luther in his famous hymn. He said, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." Luther knew what it was to do battle with the evil one. But God gave him victory, enabled him to conquer the attacks of the foe and the evil one upon him. And dear Christian, when the devil attacks, when that adversary, the evil one, assails you and I as God's people, there is victory for us in and through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else we can say tonight in connection with our text. Our text also encourages the believer when resisting the snares of this world. The Lord says in our text, he says, "Have I no power to deliver?" Well, believer, by the Lord's grace, by the Lord's power, by the direction of his word, yes, we can overcome the snares and the pitfalls and the allurements of this present evil world. Turn in your Bible over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want you to go down to verse 25 and verse 26 of that chapter. There you read about Moses turning his back upon Egypt and all the allurements of Egypt with all of its false religion, its sinful pleasures, and all of the riches of Egypt. Look at what it says about Moses in verse 25 and verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says of Moses, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward." And there you read of him turning his back upon the world and all that was in Egypt. And really, all of Egypt was really at the feet of Moses at that particular time, because he had been brought up as a son in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. It was all there for him to take and, as it were, to live out in his own life here on earth. But he said no. He turned his back upon it. And how did he do that? What enabled him to do that? Well, there's but one answer. You'll find that in two little words that you find continuously throughout Hebrews chapter 11. And they're the two little words, by faith. Look at what you read there in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Look at verse 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, seeing him who was invisible." Yes, by faith, not in himself, no. Not in his fellow Israelites, no. But by faith in his Lord, in his God, in his Savior, he was able to say no to Egypt and to forsake the pleasures of sin in that ungodly place. Believer, the Lord has not changed. He is unchanging. And he is able, yes, to help you and I to resist the the evil ways and the evil pull of this present evil world. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And my, when the world seeks to distract us and to lead us away from God, we can have victory through the Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else tonight in connection with our text. We can say further that our text really encourages the believer when dealing with adverse circumstances and difficulties in their life. You think again of what the Lord says in this little text. He says, have I no power to deliver? And in this life as Christians, we all have trials. We all have difficulties. Circumstances that we have to face in life. Tribulations. Yes, these battles can affect us personally as Christians. They can affect our homes. They can affect our family. They can affect our work, our employment, whatever. And when they come our way and when we see no way through, we wonder, can we cope? We wonder, can we take any more? Maybe that's how it is with some believer, some child of God in the meeting tonight. Well, when that happens, believer, remember the words of the psalmist. The psalmist could say, through God we shall do valiantly. Is there one tonight, yes, walking through a dark valley at this time? Then, believer in Christ, I encourage you tonight to heed the counsel of the Lord in this chapter before us. Look at what the Lord says in verse 10 of the chapter. Go down to verse 10 of the chapter. The Lord says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Notice the Lord's counsel. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. When we're in darkness, when all around seems dark, when there seems to be no light, what are we to do? We're to trust in the name of the Lord. We are to stay upon the Lord. The hymn writer says, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. We're to look to the Lord. We're to stay upon the Lord Jehovah. Believer in Christ tonight, whatever the provenance, whatever the circumstance, whatever the difficulty, whatever the trial is that you have to face, remember this tonight, that with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. To turn over there to Jeremiah chapter number 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. And look there at verse number 27. Look at what the Lord says. And I encourage you, Christian, mark this verse in your Bible. It'll be encouragement to you in the difficulties of life. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Think of those words, dear Christian. Apply them to your own life tonight. Your circumstance, your situation, the difficulty, the trial, the tribulation, whatever it is. The Lord says, is there anything too hard for me? The Lord is able to deliver. The Lord is able to help you. Stay upon the Lord Jehovah. It was Matthew Henry who said that man's extremity is God's opportunity for helping and for saving. Yes, believer, in your time of need, stay upon the Lord. Look to the Lord. Depend upon him. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. One final thought tonight in connection with our text. Yes, our text is an encouragement to the believer in their service for the Lord and in their work for the Lord. Think again of what the Lord says in our little text tonight. He says, have I no power to deliver? And we can say tonight in response to that question in connection with the work of the Lord, that in the Lord's work, the Lord is able to command and to send deliverances. In his work, he's able to command and send deliverances. The Lord is able to save the stoutest of sinners, the hardest of sinners. Look at what the Lord says here earlier on in verse 2 of this same chapter before us there in Isaiah chapter 50. He asks the question, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? The answer is no. He's able to save the stoutest of sinners, the hardest of sinners. We can say also the Lord is able to remove every barrier, every hindrance, every roadblock in the work of God. Look again at what the Lord says there further on down, verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 50. He says, Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. That speaks of His almighty power, removing the barrier of the sea, removing the barrier of the river, whatever it is. The Lord is able to remove every barrier, every obstacle in the work of God. The Lord also is able to meet every need in His work, whatever that need is. You think tonight of Abraham's answer to Isaac's unbelief as he went up Mount Moriah. Abraham said, God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Then we can say further tonight that the Lord is able to quicken. He's able to revive His people in the ways of God. That's His promise. Turn in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Just a little bit back from our Bible reading tonight. Isaiah chapter 44. Look at the great promise of the Lord there in verse 3 of that chapter. He says, For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows, by the water course. The Lord is able to revive and to quicken His people, revive and quicken His church. Believer tonight, be encouraged. Be encouraged to pray. Be encouraged to serve the Lord. Be encouraged to live for the Lord. For the Lord is one who has power to deliver. He has power to deliver. And that's what the Lord was underscoring here to ancient Israel. That His power had not changed. It was undiminished. Believer, the Lord says, I am the Lord. I change not. His power to deliver tonight, whatever our need is, whatever the circumstance is, whatever the situation is. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. The hymn writer says, Jesus, the wonders of thy name, today is yesterday the same. We all are called to prove, the end is of thy mercies found. We cannot stop thine arm or bind the omnipotence of love. The Lord is able to deliver. You think of what the Lord says in our text, the question that He asks. He says, have I no power to deliver? And we answer that question tonight with the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they face the fiery furnace. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver. They depended upon the delivering power of God. Whatever the need is, whatever the care is, believer, rest upon the Lord. Depend upon the Lord. For the Lord is one who can command and send deliverance to His people, to His church, to our needs, to our cares. May the Lord write His word and bless His word to our hearts and souls. Well, maybe just turn again in our hymn book, please, to hymn number 555. 555 in your hymn book. When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay, the Lord reached down His mighty hand and rolled the sea away. And forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will, though the billows dash and spray with a conquering tread, we will push ahead. He'll roll the sea away. 555 will stand as we sing.
Yeah. would just get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, to take part, men and women, young and old alike, and let there be no gaps. Let us pray one with another, one for another. Let us pray for the coming services this Lord's Day. Remember them in your prayers, and then, of course, remember the Sunday School, the Youth Fellowship. Children's work really off in holiday mode at this minute, but God doesn't be in holiday mode. Pray that God will speak through His Word to hearts young and old, to the saving of souls. Remember, please, the sick and the elderly in your prayers connected with us. There's quite a number of people that were very faithful when they were able, but no longer able to come to God's house. Remember them especially in your prayers, and our missionaries at home and abroad, and especially this time of the year, those that are far from home. Remember them in your prayers. Let us give thanks for the carol service and Lord's Day evening past. Many unsaved were gathered in. Pray that God will speak. And even over this past autumn season, there's been many unsaved in it. Many of our different services. Let us give thanks to God for this. And just pray that the Lord will speak on in a still small voice and save souls. And let us, this is really the last prayer meeting of this old year in the will of the Lord. Let us give thanks to God for all His blessings this year, for souls that have been saved and blessings that we've received and known from the bountiful hand of our God. We'll maybe ask our brother, the Reverend Power, to lead us off in prayer, and our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, as well, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us right through to 9:20 or so.